Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
Hello out there, and welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. As always, Know Your Risk Radio. Got a great show planned for you today. And, you know, hey, let me stop for a second to say, I really mean that. Thank you for joining us. I love talking about finance. You heard the show before. I've got no problem going on for quite a while about investing and finance. And I appreciate you guys listening to us. Hopefully you don't turn the dial. Like I've said before, probably a little bit disappointed. You check on 770, you're hoping to get a rerun of MedVet or Rush, and like, I got to listen to this guy talk about mutual funds. Well, we're not talking about mutual funds. Talking about economics, investing, what's going on in the world. And if you don't pay attention to markets, well, let me just tell you, talk about an endless supply of topics to address. And we got a great show planned for you. Going to start, of course, with a market update. We're going to work our way through that. We're going to talk about the question of the week. And as always, you can go to knowyourriskradio.com and you can send us questions. We do not do live in-call questions, but we have clients or listeners or whatever send in, email us in questions, and we'll read them on air and address them and hopefully answer some things. And got a great one in this week that I'm excited to go over, and I think it's prescient, and it really applies to everybody. We're also going to talk about one of the biggest problems I see consistently, and I totally understand the reason for it. I actually respect the reason for it, but we want to talk about people that are sitting on big piles of cash. And just stay with me. Just be open. You know, one of the tough things about investing is, and I've learned this being in the industry now for well over a decade. What is it, 12 years, 13 years? You have to stay limber and you got to stay open, because you can have opinions. But remember, with investing, we're not trying to be right. Right? We want to be right. But investing, and then also diversification, which we're going to talk about later as well, diversification. And not in the sense you're typically, I'm not going to tell you buy this mutual fund or this, but I want to talk about what it really means and why diversification is important and why I think diversification is going to be a big story in 2018. But we also want to address these issues, like I said, sitting on cash. And this is where it goes into why it's, you know, with investing, we're not just trying to be right. like I tell clients all the time, you've probably heard me say it on the show before. If we're really a fiduciary, if we're here to help you accomplish your retirement goals, a retirement plan is something that should work out regardless of whether or not your theory on the economy is right. Okay? So should you have no cash on hand? No, but it should fit into a plan. And diversification, if done properly, is how we ensure that our retirement plan works out all right. And we're not betting. Okay? And I think diversification is something that's really gotten washed or lost in the wash. To most people, diversification is stocks and bonds. That's not good enough, guys. Not even close. And 2018, I firmly believe 2018 is going to be a big example of that. And we'll get into that. But let's get into the market update. Wow. Lord knows we have enough to discuss. The endless ramp higher continues in markets. I'm sure many of you are out there cheering. Don't get me wrong. I am too. You know, and people are like, what do you mean? We tell you, you're always telling us what problems and what pitfalls are out there. Well, yeah, because with investing, you know, we say we don't try to time the markets, right? So with investing, it's, in my opinion, it makes sense. I want to keep my eyes on the things that can go wrong and the ways to protect against that more so than I want to keep my things on the way that goes on things that go right. If things go right, it's no problem. And if we're diversified, then things just keep going up in value. Our home, our stock accounts, everything, right? Except cash, but I don't want to get into that. But anyway, so I'm laughing because we are now officially closing in on many days. Now, we've been talking about this for a year, right? And it just keeps getting more exacerbated, and more exaggerated to the upside. But we are living in rarefied times. I say it every week. Sit back, take a look at it. It's pretty crazy. You are looking at the most astronomically valued stock market in all time. And I'm sure there's people out there that disagree with me because they're looking at one individual metric. If you look at all major valuation metrics, we're one or two in all time, coming off the slowest decade of growth in history. And there's this growing belief that great times are, guys, good times are here now. You've got a record valuation on the stock market. Okay. And what I'm seeing that really disturbs me is I'm seeing people press into it. You've already missed it. I'm not saying the market's not going to keep going up, but it will not continue at this pace. You're like, oh, Zach, you've been saying that for a year. Yep, I have. And I'll continue saying it. A year. Remember, we're not trying to time things. We haven't sold all of our stock. I've never advocated that. But do not press into it. Don't sell it. Stay with your balanced approach plan. We're not selling everything. We're not panicking, but you do not press in now. If you haven't pressed in at this point, don't do it. Don't do it. And I'm watching that mania grab a hold, right? Yesterday, market goes up 340 points. Excuse me, that was actually Thursday. Market goes up 340 points because a tax bill that we all know is going to pass is going to pass. So and this is the valuation conversation. I'm getting a little bit off course. I know this is supposed to be the market update, but this is so important. Okay. This is why big valuations become a problem. Things may be about to get better in the United States. I don't have a crystal ball. Right? There are some things picking up here and there and all that kind of stuff. I think it's transient. I think within a year, you'll see those things. I think with less than that, I think that everything good you see picking up here has mostly to do with China. Yeah, that's another conversation for another day. And I know that I might be stepping on the toes of the Trump folks out there. Look, I'm not saying it's anything wrong with Trump. I'm not saying it's anything wrong with any policies. I think the policies that he's bringing to the front are going to benefit us. I think they're going to benefit the economy. But there's this iron law valuation problem. It better be really good in 2018, 2019, and 2020. And the reason it better be good, and it better be a best case scenario, is because that's what's priced into the stock market. Okay. This is the thing about valuations that people don't understand. We've had 9 straight years of vertical markets. And so people believe now that that means the economy is good. Okay. Well, the underlying realities of the economy haven't really changed much. We've gotten a couple pops up. We'll talk about that later in the show. It's not bad. I'm not a Chicken Little, never am. Right. But it's priced in. You've got record valuations on the stock market. Do you believe like a child that trees can grow to the sky? And again, I'm not scaring anybody. I'm not trying to tell you to go sell your stocks. We haven't. Okay. What I'm telling you is not to press into this. If you haven't now, stay on your plan. If you haven't got one, get one. Make sure you're diversified, and that diversification better include more than just stocks and bonds. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough having these conversations and bringing up the downsides in a market like this because everybody goes, oh, you're a permabear. You're bearish. No, I'm not. I'm not at all. What I'm saying is, and my argument is, and the approach is, and look, if you want to disagree with me, let's go back through history. Go back and look at different market periods of time. Go back and look at, you know, the 80s. Go back and look at the late 90s. Go back and look at the 60s. Go back and look at the 20s. Bad things happen when things look really good as far as asset prices are concerned. Right? That's the thing that the average investor doesn't understand. They talk like they do, but they'll get caught up in the emotion, or they get caught up in the greed, or they get caught up in this. I'm not saying the worst case scenario is going to happen. I'm not trying to predict it. And the reason I'm not trying to predict it is because I've been in this long enough to know that, yeah, you've got things you think are going to happen, but you always have to hedge. You got to be balanced. You got to be diversified. Because what you think's going to happen doesn't always play out. And when you sit there and look at this market, it's all priced in. And guys, that's when bad things happen. You know, prices don't go from obscenely high to incredibly obscenely high to infinity and beyond, right? You've heard me say that on the show before. That's not the way it works. The same is true at market bottoms, right? And I think I've said this on the show before, my grandfather had a saying that this just stuck with me. A lot of what he's said stuck with me. But in particular, he said, if you're investing for the end of the world, you better be right because it only happens once. And just like we see people freaking out and panicking and think the world's going to end and go to cash and refuse to get back in the market, those same people are piling in right now. Okay? That's what we need to quit thinking about. Do not let greed drive your investment decisions. You need to have a plan, and you must, in a disciplined manner, stick to it. Because opportunities in investing do not mean chasing market highs. Opportunities in investing are created by low prices, not high prices. It's just the way it works, guys. So the rest of the market update, crude oil continues to bounce, which I think confirms a little bit of that global growth story. I think China's sucking up some more stuff. Like I said, I think it has more to do with China, but I'm not poo-pooing that. I mean, the oil is seriously, you know, it's we've had a good upward move here. Yields are going up. Interest rates are going up. We've had that conversation about bonds. Be careful. Be careful. It's going to be one of the crudest investors, one of the worst wake-up calls for the average investor, especially ones that are concerned, that are sitting in bonds and have higher portions of bonds, right? Which historically would be a good move, guys, but not when interest rates are at 5,000-year lows, okay? As interest rates start moving up, you're going to get hurt. You're going to have non-productive assets just sitting there. You got to make sure that that portion, that safe portion of your portfolio, which is the bonds, is diversified. So you're not overly exposed to those rising interest rates. So anyway, we got to take a quick break. I think producer's probably getting angry at me. Stick with us. We got a great show coming up. We're going to talk about the economy. Is it improving? We're going to go over some economic facts and kind of take a look at that. We're also going to get bigger into it, and I teased this a little bit earlier. We're going to talk about the problem with cash. Why, if you're looking for a safety blanket, if you're concerned about valuations and you're concerned about p- potentially about things going wrong, you need to hear us talk about cash, because cash can be a component of that safeguard, but it can't be all of it. And I'm running into that way too often. Okay. And we'll get into that. And I also, obviously, we need to talk about the political issues, right? We had some big, some big political happenings pop up yesterday, and we got to discuss those things. So anyway, stick with us. We got a great show. As always, I really appreciate you joining us. You can give us a call, 866-779-RISK. And you can talk to me directly. We've got a program we use called Riskalyze. We look at your portfolio. We run it through the program. We tell you what your maximum risk exposure is. And then we show you a portfolio that we'd put together and show you both the upside, how that portfolio has performed, and how it holds up during times of duress. It takes about 15 minutes. You talk to me directly. And it's just a great way to get some some extra information and some extra detail. So give us a call. You can also go to the radio show at knowyourriskradio.com, listen to more of the podcast, check out some more of the stuff we've got on there. And most importantly, though, stick with us for the rest of the show. Like I said, great topics coming up. So anyway, happy Saturday. We're going to take a quick break. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for sticking with us. Hopefully, we're going to provide you with some good investment information. Hopefully, we got a few finance or economic nerds out there. But, Todd, man, hosting this radio show, I've said it before, it keeps getting easier and easier as far as having things to talk about. I was making my list the other morning about topics to discuss. It's a whittled down process, right? It really is incredible, especially if you're, like I said, if you're a finance geek like I am or an investment geek like I am. Man, it reminds me of the movie Armageddon. I don't know if you guys have seen that movie, but there's a scene in there where it's Steve Buscemi. They're on the asteroid, and he says, I'm going to go get a lawn chair and sit up in the front of this thing and watch the view as the asteroid was going to collide into Earth. And that's the way that I feel. And I'm not predicting imminent doom. I'm not saying that. But I just feel like we've got front row seats to just some some incredible fodder for discussion. But let's get into the improving economy, okay? Because I was having a meeting with a client last night on his boat, which was a fun place to have a meeting, by the way. Wish all my clients had boats. Wish that's where we did it. But anyway, he's like, well, the economy's getting better. Everything looks great. Things are looking up. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he goes, well, GDP's up and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I think a lot of you know this probably already, but, the old adage, the devil's in the details. Rather than just listening to these round numbers that economists and market participants or people on CNBC throw out, we need to dig down into the numbers. As always, the devil is in the details, right? So when we look through the GDP reports, what we see is that the increase in GDP, now again, I'm not knocking anybody, okay? It's amazing to me, and again, not to make a political statement here, but it is pretty amazing that Obama was the first president to not have a single year of 3% growth or greater. Now, that's pretty amazing because he was a two-term president. Right? There's plenty of one-term presidents, and even they got a 3% growth or greater. So I'm not taking any credit away. I'm just saying we've got to look at it. We got to look at those GDP numbers and figure out where that quote-unquote growth is coming from. Where is it happening? And when you break down the latest GDP figures, right, it's pretty glaring where it's coming from, and it's not a bad thing. But we are a consumer-based economy. 70% of the economic activity that happens in this country is directly attributable to consumer and consumer spending. Okay, so year over year, if we can compare this last quarter to the same quarter last year, consumer spending rose about 0.1%. Not bad. It's not a bad thing. Not a real big boost. That's not where the jump in GDP is coming from. So when we dig down into the numbers, what we see is increased healthcare spending, insurance premiums going up. I don't need to tell you guys that. We all know that. I'm actually looking at a little side note here. We actually started looking at some of these faith-based plans, these insurance plans, because I am spending, I get the three kids and the wife, on a health insurance policy through this beautiful thing called Obamacare. I'm spending $1,200 or $1,300 bucks a month. I swear it doesn't cover anything. Anyway, I'm preaching to the choir here, but just unbelievable. Gosh, I remember it wasn't long ago you'd get a Cadillac plan for a family of our size for, you know, $400 a month, $500 a month. This wasn't 30 years ago. But just amazing what's gone on there. Anyway, so I digress. But the increase in the GDP spending came from increased healthcare costs. It also, we saw an industrial ramp up located especially in the South and the Southwest, or Midwest, Southern Midwest, I guess is what you'd call it, because they break it down by regions when you read the Federal Reserve reports. And nearly all of that is attributable to the storms, right? The rebuilding efforts that went in. And I was telling that to client last night. He goes, no, that hurts economy. And I go, no. Maybe over the long run it does. But initially it gives a pump. People go in and buy lumber, right? They're buying plywood to block up their windows. They're buying new cars to replace the ones that they just, you know, the ones that got destroyed. There's a lot of economic activity. A lot of businesses lose a lot of inventory. They got to restock their shelves. All this, but what we call those are transient changes in the economy. They're not something that we sit there and go, okay, that's a real pickup. Now, the interesting thing to note, though, is that is 2-3% quarters in a row. And it's not just here in the United States. We're seeing that over in Europe a little bit. Looks a little bit better. China's doing a little bit better. And the reason I laugh about China is because China is just, it's crazy what's going on there. But the thing you're going to hear over and over, and if you pay attention to financial news or you pay attention to CNBC, what you'll find out is Wall Street is just an echo chamber. It's an echo chamber. Somebody says something and then everybody in an effort to sound smart and in the know just repeats it over and over. And when you're in the industry like I am, you've been in it for a while, it literally is why I no longer watch business news. It is worthless. It's completely worthless. You'll actually do worse watching it. But the term that everybody's throwing around is synchronized global growth. Okay. Now, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying it just irritates me because it's the echo chamber aspect of it. It's like being in high school. It's like a fad, right? People don't change. Even as they get older, the fads change and the structure of the fads change. Rather than all having to have the same shoes, we got to say the same things because we got to sound smart. We got to be a part of that main group. We got to sound like the guys on TV. Oh, man, it's funny. And anyway, the thing you got to remember is that the vast majority of these people don't even manage money. So, you know, it's that whole advice thing, you know, free advice, take it for what it's worth. And I guess you could say the same for me, but, you know, at least we're practitioners. But anyway, the global growth story. There are some signs. And so here's one of the things. Now, this is going to tie into our diversification conversation. And you've heard me talk about it a million times. You're probably tired of hearing me talk about it, but valuations. And why 2018, I think, is going to be a critical year to be diversified. And we're not even talking about stocks and bonds. We're going to focus just on the stock side of it. The United States right now, the S&P 500, is the most overvalued stock market in the entire world. It's not opinion. That's a fact. it does not mean we've got an imminent crash. I'm just stay with me here. If we have a synchronized global growth happening, or global inflation picking up, where we, what's the most important aspect of diversification right now is to make sure that we don't have something that we refer to as home country bias, which is easy to fall into, especially when you live here in the United States. And the reason why I say that is because here in the United States, all of this growth, all of these good things are priced in. If these things don't come, then we've got problems. But let's say they do. If they come, they're going to justify prices where they currently at, maybe slightly higher. But the growth is going to come from overseas. You're going to see it in Europe. You're going to see it in Asia. You're going to see it in Japan. Japan's part of Asia, but break those things down. Because those markets are nowhere near trading at the multiples that our markets are. The other important thing to think about, remember I said home country bias? It works in reverse. Everybody around the world understood that the United States was the safest place to park money. It was the cleanest dirty shirt. And so international capital has flowed into our markets. As things get better at home, that money's going to begin to migrate out. Now, this is really interesting, too. We got to think about currency valuations. If you lived in Europe right now and you saw, you know, you thought the Trump thing was great and you wanted to be a part of the rally that you thought was going to come on Wall Street and you invested in U.S. stocks. Over the last year, you've made virtually nothing, even though in the last 12 months, the S&P is up 30%. How is that possible? Well, because the euro increased in value almost the same amount over the same time compared to the US dollar, right? Because of the global growth story. So what are those investors going to start doing? They've already experienced the top out in US markets because of the currency valuations. So that money is going to start flowing out of our markets and into theirs. And again, I'm not saying that's going to make it crash. But what I am saying is that's going to take a big, what has been a giant inflow of capital into U.S. markets, and it's going to reroute it. They're going to start migrating that money back home. And that's where a globally diversified portfolio is going to come in really handy. On the flip side, if this global growth story turns out to be a global mirage, like it has been over the last 9 years, and I'm not saying that, things look better. I'm not denying that. Okay, on an economic level. But I'm saying we want to always look at both sides of the equation. So if things continue to get better, we've already established this, we need to be diversified globally. If things don't, we still need to be diversified globally. And here's why. Because this economic optimism is priced into our markets. That's why they're the most, you know, they're the most highly valued U.S. markets of all time, close to it on all the different metrics. I won't go into that again. But if it turns out to be that mirage, then the same thing that will make those foreign markets go up more is going to keep them from dropping as much. Because they're much, the valuations are much lower. The Japanese stock market, the Nikkei, is still 50% below its all-time high that it was trading at in 1989. Consequently, We are closing in and almost double the stock market high that we posted in 2000. I think we peaked in 2007. So over the last 10 years, we've doubled. Very same, a lot of similar setups with markets around the rest of the world, including China and Europe. And you're sitting there going, Zach, I know, but you said China's a problem. And they are. China's a time bomb, right? It's going to be a big problem at some point, but that could be years down the road. And if this global growth pickup is happening, it's going to be a wind in China's back. Trust me, it just is. And it's going to keep that disaster scenario that is eventually going to happen in China. It's going to keep it at bay for an extended period of time. Same with Europe. So whether or not you agree with my take, whether or not you may think that this is the beginning of the greatest economic surge and now is the time to push into stocks, and you know what? I would say timestamp that and I'll talk to you in 3 years, because I would bet you dollars and cents that's not the case. But it could be, which is why we don't try to time markets. What I do know is it a much better risk-reward scenario is right now? A lot of these international markets and overseas. Does it mean we dump everything that's in the U.S.? No. It just means that we need to make sure we're globally diversified. So that's my diversification speech. That's my rant, as we were talking about last week on the show. But anyway, we got a lot of other good stuff coming up. We got to get rolling. Got another break coming up. And we want to talk about the problem with cash. If you recognize a lot of the economic problems and fiscal problems that we talk about on the show, and the answer to that has been cash, you need, or having big portions of cash in your portfolio, you need to listen to this next segment, okay? Because it's not the answer. It's part of it, but it's not the whole answer, and you're going to hurt yourself in the long run. So anyway, stick with us. We'll be right back with that conversation about cash. As always, you can call us at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Or you can go to the radio website at knowyourriskradio.com. We can do a free risk evaluation for you or just have a conversation with me and what we can do differently for you. Anyway, stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. Want to get right into this one. Got to hurry this one along because we got Medved coming into the studio to do a deal for his radio show. Unfortunately, he won't be on with us. You guys are all sitting there. Medved. Is Zach putting on Medved? Okay, maybe we'll actually listen to his show now. I said, like I've said before, I don't blame you. I'm not Michael. Wish I was. Guy's got an encyclopedic mind. Anyway, I want to get into the problem with cash. So one of the things that I'm obviously, look, you know, I know our style. I know the way we come off on the radio. You know, one of the things people always ask me is, you know, you think a lot of bad things are going to happen. No. We're optimistic. We really are. As far as asset prices go, as far as stocks go, I was much more optimistic in 2009 and 2010. Just because we've seen this movie, right? And it won't play out the exact same way, and it won't happen the same way, and probably won't happen on the same timeline. But my market cycle, they just do. You get all-time highs, you're going to get all-time lows. It's just the way it works, right? And every once in a while, though, we get people, oh, you know, they call us because they hear me talking about positive, negative, or, you know, possibly negative outcomes, which, again, like I said earlier, when everything's great, when stocks, bonds, real estate, everything is at record highs, that's when you should be not pessimistic, but that's when you should be looking for downside, right? That's the way it works. Consequently, when things are at all-time lows, that's when you should be looking at upside. So then I run into these other clients and go, you know, I'm with you. I think the whole world's going to blow up, blah, blah, blah. That's why we're sitting on all this cash. And I look at them and I go, look, can cash be a part of your plan? Absolutely. And it should be. We call it having dry powder on the sidelines to be able to take advantage of buying opportunities. Okay. So it should be a part of the plan, depending on who you are. But for most clients, it's part of the plan. But I'm seeing people with 30, 40, 50, 60% of their assets sitting in cash. And let me tell you why that's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. Historically, it would be. When we're looking at record high prices like we are now and all that kind of stuff. But we need to take a step back. How did record prices get here? Okay. For those of you out there, well, you know, things have been improving. No, let's not be naive. Okay. Record prices got here because central banks around the world have taken unprecedented action, printing over $20 trillion of fiat currency in the last 10 years, and they've stuffed into the economies. Now, that may make me sound like a conspiracy theorist because you don't hear it talked about on the news all the time. Why it's not, I don't know. If I had an opinion on that, that would make me a conspiracy theorist. But that whole aspect of printing more than $20 trillion worth of fiat currency over the last 10 years, that's just a fact, guys. Okay, so what are we doing, though? Effectively, we are debasing currency. So when you're sitting there in a pile of cash, that's the one asset you own that is a guaranteed loss. You hear them talking about inflation rates at 2.2, 2.3. Real inflation rates, if we figure in, you know, energy costs, which aren't as bad because oil's dropped, but housing costs and food costs into those metrics, we'd have a number that was more like 3 to 3.5. And what are yields? What are you getting paid on your cash? You're lucky if you're getting 0.4% a year. Okay, so that means that your cash is losing 3% of its purchasing power per year. Could stocks double from here? I'd bet you dollars to cents that they won't, but they could, right? There's a possibility they win. Could bonds profit from here? That's even a longer stretch because we're already at record interest rate, you know, record lows, 5,000-year historic lows on interest rates. And when rates go down, bonds go up in value. Is it possible, though? Yes. Very slim, but bonds could make a little bit of money from here. Can cash? Nope. Okay, that's the one guarantee loss you've got in your portfolio. Does that mean we don't want any cash on hand? No. It just means that we need to make sure we don't have too much. Make sure that you're not deriving your security from the wrong asset. And for those of you that are more secure, you know, or more paranoid, more worried, that's where you need to consider some of these alternative products we talk about. And I get it. I've talked about it on the show before. You bring up the dirtiest word in investing, annuity. People freak out. I was talking last week on the show about, I was listening to another radio show where a guy was bemoaning these annuity products and how they're so, the guy had no clue what he was talking about. It wasn't that we disagreed. He was talking about things that don't even exist, like fixed index annuities with 4% expense fees. Doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist. You can find some with 1% fees. I've even seen a couple with 1.5%. 4 or 5% fees, those are variable annuities. Completely different animal. Don't touch them. And I can go into a whole segment on why we don't want to touch those. But if you're looking for a cash alternative, you would probably want to consider one of those products combined with some interest rate protected fixed income, with the idea of having kind of taking that safe part of your portfolio and making that a portfolio unto itself. Include some things in there that actually make money when interest rates rise. Include one of those fixed index annuities we talk about, which, by the way, one of our favorite products right now for our clients is up double digits this year. And I'm not promising that. I don't want to quote the specifics because I'm not supposed to. You're talking about performance is kind of sketchy. But if you had a product that was insured against loss and backed up by the state of Washington in the form of the insurance guarantee fund, and it didn't have a management fee, would you be happy if you were up 12.5, 13% this year? I would think so. Tell you, it's a heck of a lot better than your cash. And maybe that's not the entire answer, but there are alternatives. You've got to make that money productive. That cash is just sitting there, losing money. You got to figure out some way to park it. I've seen people that have been sitting on piles of cash like that for 4 or 5 years. And they're doing it for security's sake, but there's other things you can do. Even if we're only averaging 3 to 4%, it's better than losing 3 to 4% a year. It's killing you. And like I said, it's the one asset you own that is guaranteed to lose money, and it will probably lose money at a faster rate going forward than it has. Because when you print that much fiat currency, it's only a matter of time until inflation sets in. So be careful about how you're being careful. How do you like that for a saying? Be careful how you're being careful. Be conservative with how you're being conservative. But like I said, guys, no one's trying to predict market moves. If they do, and you got some guru that's telling you knows where it's going to go, look, this market has baffled me continually for the last 6 years. The one right thing we've done is stayed long, stayed disciplined, stayed within our plan, right? Controlling risk, managing the portfolio, but also staying long because we can't time markets. But we got to make sure that our assets are productive. Because we can get that. We can get productivity with safety. You just got to be open-minded. Don't listen to these people out there telling you, oh, you got to stay away from this. You got to stay away from that. You need to have a diversified portfolio at this point, and that means more than stocks and bonds. It just does. But cash is not the answer. Like I said, it can be part, but you're killing yourself if you're making it too big of a part. So anyway, we gotta go to another break again here. Stick with us. We got more to talk about. Gotta address this these political issues. We're gonna talk about that coming up next. It happened at the end of the week. That's getting frosty or spicy. Anyway, stick with us. As always, you can call 866-779-RISK. And if this sounds mildly interesting to you, give us a call. We'll have a 15-minute conversation. We're not going to twist your arm and make you meet with us. Like I said, Dory wouldn't be repping us if that was our style. He actually made sure that wasn't how we did things. But give us a call. We'll just have a 15-minute conversation. I'll tell you exactly some, you know, throw some different ideas at you and give you something to think about. And especially if you got a big pile of cash sitting there. That's some really unproductive capital. So anyway, stick with us. You can also go to the radio show, knowyourriskradio.com, radio show website. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And welcome back. Thank you for joining us. We got to talk about the political discussion, but this is just something interesting I ran into. Remember me telling you things were overheated? This is the time we want to be careful, not panic, not sell, not trying to time markets. Can't say that enough times. But a little stat that just came out. U.S. margin debt. For those of you that don't know what margin is, if you have a brokerage account with us or wherever, our clients keep their accounts at TD Ameritrade. But you can get margin, which margin is credit. Okay, so let's say we got $100,000 in a brokerage account. You can get credit, and the amounts totally vary, but let's say it's $30,000. And you'll get charged maybe a 2% fee for that per year, right? But what that allows you to do, if you did that over the last year, congratulations. And here's what you do. You get that $30,000 of credit, you invest it in stocks, right? So even though you only have $100,000 in your account, if we play that scenario out, now you've got $130,000 because they loaned you $30,000. And then over the last 12 months, the market's gone up almost 30%. So now instead of making 30% on your $100,000, you're making 30% on $130,000. Right? That's called margin. Now, I just laid out margin for you in a good scenario. And it makes you extra money, right? You're playing with the house money. And so if you get a percentage gain in your account, you get a bigger gain overall. That's the upside of margin. Downside of margin is it happens the exact same way on the downside. You got $130,000. Market drops 30%. You just lost 30% on $130,000 as opposed to $100,000. And you still owe the $30,000 back. Okay? So when things are going up, one of the things that we look at to determine how far along we are in the price appreciation of markets and whether markets are getting carried away is we look at margin levels, right? How much are people pressing the bet? So as with everything else right now, margin debt, people using margin on Wall Street is at an all-time high. And as a matter of fact, the amount of margin in U.S. brokerage accounts has just eclipsed the entire size of the economy of Taiwan. Think about that. That's pretty amazing. $561 billion of margin debt. And why that's scary is Because when markets fall, again, not predicting it, but when markets fall, the speed and the severity of the decline can be directly correlated to the amount of margin. And the reason for that is you have something called the margin call. So let's go back to our $100,000 analysis, right? We got a $100,000 account. We get $30,000 in margin debt. Market drops 30%. But you still owe the $30,000. Well, you get what we call as a margin call. The bank says, hey, we're worried about your ability to pay this out. You need to pay us back our margin right now, or we're going to liquidate it for you. We're going to sell everything you own. So what do you have to do? You can't ride out the downturn. You've lost 30%. So 30% of 130 would put you at about $90,000, I think, right? Thereabouts. And now you've got to sell $30,000 to pay off your margin debt. And all these people, we got record levels of margin, they're all doing this at the same time. And remember, when you've got all these people that are forced to sell, now we've got way more sellers than buyers and the market's flooded with stocks, which pushes them down even more. It gets into what George Soros calls that theory of reflexivity, right? Markets feed on themselves, both to the upside, both to the downside. And a lot of times it's not even panic. This is what a lot of people don't understand. It's not panic. It's forced selling. So that forced selling pushes the market down further. And as the market drops further, it starts triggering hedges. It starts triggering sell stops, which triggers more selling of stock. Pushes markets down even further, right? It's a cycle that feeds on itself. So just like it works to the upside, generating buying based on credit, which don't ever do. Just don't ever do it. Don't use margin. We don't allow any of our clients to use margin. They want to use margin, they can open an account somewhere else. Because it's not if it'll get you, it's just when. So anyway, I just thought that was incredible. $561 billion of margin debt in U.S. brokerage accounts right now. Amazing. Anyway, let's get into the political discussion side of it and what I think is being overlooked here. Pretty interesting bombshell came out yesterday. Now, stay with me, not trying to turn into a political talk show radio host. Although that would be kind of fun. We always talk about finance and investing. And as you guys know, I'm not shy about sharing my opinions of that. That would equate to the political side of things. But that's not what we're going to get into. I'm going to relate this to finance. But bear with me here. But the bombshell comes out. And look, even if you're a Trump fan, this is a bombshell. Maybe it'll be, proved not true or extenuating circumstances or whatever. But Michael Flynn comes out and apparently he testifies and he confesses to the Mueller probe and says, yeah, I did talk to the Russians. I lied to you guys. I'm sorry about that. But I was directed to talk to the Russians by Trump. Now, the reason, and then we've seen the fallout. A lot of you probably follow it even closer than I have because I'm looking at it from the market side of things. But Dow dropped 330 points on that news and then just whipsawed back to down 200 and then climbed its way back and finished lower. But, you know, it's a loss on the day, but not anywhere near as bad as it should have been. But here's the issue that I see. You've got Trump, who's this bombastic leader. And again, I'm not a Trump hater, but I'm not saying any of that. Just stating it as facts. And he is like, I equate him to like a heat shield, right? On the shuttles as they re-enter. You know, they come in through the atmosphere and there's so much friction that they got to put these heat shields to keep the shuttle from burning up. That's sort of what Trump is like for the rest of the Republicans. And it's something that I haven't heard anybody talk about. But he is getting so many bombs thrown at him that basically he becomes a heat shield where the Republicans, and for as much as they talked about resisting Trump, even McCain came along with the tax plan, right? And it's because it's not a political winner for them to fight it. All the people that voted for Trump, which he won the Electoral College, and all the people that voted for him want this tax reform done. B, everybody realizes we need tax reform, even the liberals that are against it, because it's not politically viable for them, but even they recognize it. But C, we also have to recognize the political ramifications that if they can stop Trump's agenda or they can slow it down, regardless of the negative impacts, they're going to do it. And if Trump gets locked up in this deal, right, even if it doesn't turn into something horrible, he gets pulled out, I'm telling you, it's going to slow down the agenda, if not freeze it completely. Because now, if the Senate and congressional Republicans still want to pass this bill, they got to be the ones out front doing it, which means they've got to go head to head with, so then they've got to bear the weight of, at least in the media, and I realize a lot of you out there don't feel this way, and I don't either, but they've got to bear the brunt of the agenda and pushing it forward, and all of a sudden they got to start taking bullets. And the more they do, they're going to be labeled in the media as pushing Trump's agenda. All of a sudden, the heat shield's gone. Well, if there's one thing we know about Washington that's always been true, and unfortunately less true in the past, but certainly true today, is that they're cowards. They're political animals, and they're cowards. They're not going to be seen as backing Trump's agenda because they don't know where this whole Mueller thing's going to lead. And then, furthermore, they don't want to be crucified in the press as being the people that picked up the fumble of Trump and ran it into the end zone, right? Because now they're just an extension of Trump. So what are they going to do? They're going to do what politicians are great at, sit back and play the, hey, we got to let it play out. Why? Because they got to figure out which way the political winds are blowing. I'm just telling you right now, I think that everybody is really underplaying this, and it could blow over. Maybe it's nothing. But when you look at a guy like Mike Flynn, if he's confessing to a crime, which giving false information to the FBI is, right? This is a career military guy. And I'm not saying he's credible. I'm not saying Trump's bad on us. I'm just saying, yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire. This doesn't look good. And if this freezes Trump's agenda, we got a problem, guys, because the last 30% rally that we've seen in the markets, it's all been based on the expectations of that agenda. And so I was actually surprised we didn't pull back more. Now, if we'd have pulled back a lot, I think maybe it would have presented some buying opportunities. I'm not saying that. Remember, we're not trying to predict which way the markets are going. I'm just saying when you start adding all this stuff up, if you take nothing else from what I talk about consistently, take a step back and just realize that everything's priced for perfection, and there are a lot of things that could go very wrong, including this, including just a political fight. And quite honestly, that's sort of where the last 8 years have not been a help. And what I mean by that is we have gotten used to, we've been anesthetized from the poison and the constant conflict and the garbage coming out of DC that I feel like everybody's kind of like, oh, here's the latest one, right? This one's a little bit more than that. Now, again, maybe it blows over. I'm just telling you, if there was not another illustration of how important it is to make sure that you're not overextended, that you're positioned correctly, that you're well diversified, this is a perfect example of it because this could cause a real mess. And, you know, who knows where these things lead? And it's a fast, I mean, oh man, if this turns out to be true, A, I'm going to sit there and go, what in the world were you doing? And B, the other side of it is, if this turns out to be true, I don't think I'm going to tolerate, I can't even fathom the idea of having to listen to Rachel Maddow peacock around and say she knew it all along. Ugh, talk about a bitter pill to swallow. But my whole thing on this one is let's sit back, let's reserve judgment. But if this is this to me is like a check, right? Use this, think about this, look at the market action on Friday, look at what the Dow did, look at what maybe the way your portfolio responded, and use it as a little bit of a stress test. Just sit there and go, you know, if one release like this could plummet the Dow, now I recovered, I'm not saying that, but use it like a quiz. Use it take it as another opportunity to review what you're currently doing and just make sure you're not overextended and realize that one of the problems, again, with valuations being this high is I'm not predicting market moves, but I'm just telling you guys that little things like this, little seemingly not that big of things at first or whatever, they can spiral and become something. And when you got valuations this high, you got air pockets. You got air pockets in the market. And remember what we always want to say, and people are like, well, if you're not trying to time markets, you're not trying to figure out which direction they're going, you're not trying to predict things, then why are you bringing this up? I'm bringing it up because nothing gets people to derail from their plans or from the approach they're taking in their retirement portfolio like big unexpected losses. They panic and sell. But if you're diversified properly and you're following a plan, and look, statistics bear this out, you're much more likely to stay. And that's something that I don't think we talk enough about. One of the reasons that we're secure, one of the reasons that we manage risk, isn't just so we don't lose. It's so we avoid the panic. It's so that I'm not talking clients off the ledge when their accounts are down 50. Right, that's when most clients panic. And right when most clients panic, that's when we want to be stepping on the accelerator. That's when we want to be getting more aggressive. Right? It's just simple risk. When the train, where, you know, to quote, what is that from? I think it's from The Big Lebowski. I am not advocating that movie for the kids. Just got some funny part. But when the plane has already flown into the mountain, that's not when it's time to go shop for a parachute, right? The damage has been done. And so use this opportunity, look at the market, and just sit there and go, you know, when things get this high, when things are this highly priced, any little thing that's seemingly not that big of a deal, A, it can spiral and these things can lead wherever, you know, who knows where. But it can also lead to massive downswings in the markets that could cause you to panic and sell. And that's the exact opposite of what we want to do. And it makes me nervous too, because let's go back to the day before yesterday. Let's go back to Thursday. Okay, great day. Market's up 340, right? And I actually got a call from Dory Monson, one of our clients, for those of you that don't know. And he's like, what's going on? It's about 10 o'clock. And I laughed and I said, look, what it looks like to me is this looks like a classic setup of retail investors flooding into the market. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, when we look at the underlying data of what's going on, when we see a ramp like that, there's a couple tells. First of all, individual stocks were kind of all over the place. The indexes were moving up in lockstep. So if we looked at the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, they were going up in lockstep. And why that says retail money is because what do most retail investors do? They buy the index. And when you, and what are the two most popular indexes they buy? The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. So when you see those going up lockstep in a vertical move or a downward move like that, it's a flag. It tells you, okay, this is retail money coming into the market. And why is that a problem? Because the markets were already at all-time highs, right? We're getting some of those classic signs of overheating. And again, not trying to pick, you're not trying to predict where things are going, but these are all warning signs, right? And then sure enough, we look at the underlying trade data, and what we see is that the purchases of those indexes were unusually small. It wasn't institutions or, you know, guys like me that manage millions and millions of dollars and they're buying this stuff up. It was individual investors buying $50,000, $25,000, $75,000 chunks. And when do we, and you guys know this, when do most investors get most excited and push further into the market? Really close to the tops. When do they sell? Pretty close to bottoms. So a lot of interesting things to keep an eye on. So anyway, we got to wrap things up here. But as always, guys, if you want to talk to me and or schedule a meeting, we can do a more in-depth thing. But even if you just want to feel it out a little bit, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. We can get you some of our information in the book that we talk about in the breaks. Or you can go to the website, knowyourriskradio.com, or go to @KYRRadio on Twitter. See some of our thoughts on there. But anyway, get a risk review. Run your portfolio through RiskAlyze. We'll show you exactly what your exposure is, what your upside is, and how we do things differently, save you money and improve your upside and lower your risk. And love to have those conversations. It's always fun talking to you guys and getting to know you. So anyway, give us a call, and we'll be back next week. Thank you for joining us again. Have a great weekend. And we'll keep an eye on things. A lot of interesting stuff going on out there. Anyway, we got to run. Thanks again. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.